Welcome back to the Safi Brothers podcast. We are back with part two of Mufti Abdul Wahab Wahid's success story. But first, we want to thank you, our audience. We are so touched by your comments in the previous episode with Dr. Tariq Al-Swaydan. Please don't forget to like and subscribe on our YouTube or follow and rate our audio platform. And please, please, please leave any comments you have as we always love to hear from you. Now back to Mufti Abdul Wahab Wahid's success story.
So you know how the whole idea of using your difficulties to drive you? Yeah. It can only happen if your purpose is very powerful. Because if your purpose isn't strong, then
forget it.
You're not going to be able to be driven. Because what you're driving towards isn't worth it. So you just fall back. You know?
I think that's exactly what's happening.
Do you feel like Allah's always sifting?
That's part of it, man. That's part of it.
But isn't that amazing?
Like, but he's supporting, you know, it's there.
He's the running water.
You know, Omar, Allah says in the Quran, it's a very interesting ayah. He says, I know I'm throwing a lot of ayat and hadith, so I apologize.
No, I apologize at all.
So he says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. It's like an oxymoron. it's wild, right? In Badr, Allah is saying to the Prophet, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ, you did not shoot the arrow. إِذْ رَمَيْتَ, when you shot the arrow. So it's saying you didn't shoot the arrow, but you didn't shoot the arrow. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى, it was Allah who shot the arrow. Simple tafsir of it is, you still do your part, but no, it wasn't the arrow that killed him. It was Allah that behind the scenes sent the angels that gave us the victory of Badr. Allah's, إِنَّمَا عَبْدِي ظَنِّي بِي, I'm with my slave as he thinks of me, right? And so we believe
that. And I think that's one thing that's happening currently in Palestine, is that I think a lot of us are using the emotions that we're feeling, seeing what's happening out there to these our brothers and sisters and the families, and that I think it's an amazing how much the world is seeing this, and I think a lot of the brothers are doing things about it. Like we're using this emotion to do more.
Do something.
It's like look what's happened. Look at the works out there. Look at the amount of projects that are happening all around the world. Yeah. You know, that are moving the world. You wouldn't fathom that. Honestly, a year ago you wouldn't think of it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't fathom. But look at that emotion.
This haraka that came from it.
It's so powerful to use this. Like when I see the emotions of myself, you know, and again, we're all seeing things. And then, but it's moving us to do something.
If it's not moving us, then it's not doing anything.
Because I think a lot of us also, it's moving us to do nothing and sit there. Because what good are you to sit there feeling sad, feeling no good, feeling worthless, feeling helpless? But I believe the majority of us
are doing something.
It's moving us. Like these emotions are moving us. So this is, I think, we should
be using. It's an opportunity.
We should use these emotions to do.
Move,
inshallah. Allahumma barik. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for bringing that out.
I think that's beautiful.
It's always,
before we would shy away from speaking about the story, but I actually, like, speaking about it also, it's motivating. It helps me. It helps us deal with our own challenges. And it also, it's a form of motivation for anyone who has lost someone. We haven't lost him. They're simply waiting for us on the other side.
When
Bilal radiallahu anhu was leaving this world, his wife said to him, wa huzna, what a day of sorrow. Bilal radiallahu anhu, the muadhin, is leaving the world. Oh my God, what a day of grief. When he would gain his consciousness, he would say, don't say that. La taquli hakada. Walakin quli wa faraha wa taraba. What a day of joy. What a day of happiness. Ghadan nalqa muhammadan wa hisba. Tomorrow we'll get a chance to meet the Prophet and the companions. It's like that's what should drive us, right? But I know you asked a beautiful question, so I apologize. I wasn't able to answer. About the university thing, like, so that's a school that we have. But in 2017, 2018, we felt like this was bringing great benefit to this niche of an audience, if you want to call it that, children and students of knowledge. But there was still so much da'wah to be given to general public. And our responsibility is to give da'wah to everyone. And that's when we started the concept of Miftah.
Why Miftah?
Why the name?
Yeah.
The name came through. We're sitting down with the brothers and I think my eldest brother, Sheikh Abdullah, we're talking about different names. And he said, you know, what about Miftah? And the hadith is, طُوبَى لِعَبْدٍ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرِ. Right? وَمِغْلَاقًا لِلشَّرِ.
Amen.
You know, glad tidings to a person who Allah enables to be a key towards goodness and a lock towards evil. And you have to ask yourself every single day, am I a key towards goodness or am I a key towards evil and shar? Because we're doing one of them. There's no such thing as being a bystander. If complacency is the biggest crime, right? That's, for us, complacency in Islam is a crime. Yeah. If you see something wrong, you're supposed to stop it. Being complacent is actually a sin for us, right? Mm. If you can't stop it with your hands, you got to stop it with your tongue. You can't stop it with your tongue. You got to feel bad about it in the heart. Make dua for it. Yeah. That's a part of not being complacent, right? So miftah, that's where it came from. And the idea was, you know, knowledge without barriers. There should be learning opportunities for every layer of the community. Adults, especially adults, because, you know, we would be surprised in how many adults don't know how to recite Quran. Mm. They don't know the seerah. We don't know, you know, the fara'id of our salat, like, because they never had the opportunity to learn it. It's not
amazing,
their fault.
Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
And so how can we create an atmosphere, an environment, an ethos that everyone wants to learn?
So how did that start, to be honest? Like, this, how small was that?
I mean, to be honest, that was very, that the goal of that was never for it to be what it is. You know, the goal of it was never to travel all across North America. And alhamdulillah, we host events, you know, all across the country, all across, and I'm not sure what I'm doing in Australia, but we're here. The idea of it was...
How long has that been going on?
5 years now, six years. It's fairly new. But the goal of it was just to be a seminary. And we have another, alhamdulillah, we have a campus for it, where we have almost, with our online and on-site classes, we have more than 1,000 students. These are adults that come study knowledge.
So it's bigger than your school?
Yeah, because it caters to a larger audience. Allah, and also a school is... we have a waiting list of more than 500 students.
Mashallah.
So like, it's not like the school is, it's just that we don't have space, right? State regulations and so on and so forth. And we really don't want to grow more than that. Because again, there are a lot of, those having 150, 200 boys in your school
we know.
Having
100,
two or three is wild, man.
Yeah, we've got 100 people.
Well, you guys do your camp, right?
At the retreat.
Imagine 4 days. Imagine that throughout the whole year. They get sick, they fight, this and that. Yeah, you got to take it.
How many board?
About 160 this year are boarding.
Are boarding?
They live on
there. They're there 24/7.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys have to come. You guys have to do your leadership. You all have to do your leadership class with those students.
Wow. Inshallah.
Inshallah. It's so beneficial.
We've got it for four days.
Feeding them.
Feeding them.
What's
the only thing we don't do is clothe them.
Brett, how big is your team there? Honestly.
Yeah, like, alhamdulillah, we have a strong team. It's not that large.
How many? 150?
No, with the mashayikh and the supervision and the people, just the staff. We have more than 60 people in the staff. It's not as big as we potentially could have the staff.
Do you have Sharia compliant police?
You know, we have cameras, good enough. You know, it does the job for us. It's the ultimate deterrent. But it's not a toxic environment.
Just boys.
Yeah, the boarding school is boys.
Okay.
Why do you say?
When we first did the retreat, we only did boys.
Yeah.
But our first two retreats were boys. Mm. But the pressure that we've got.
Of course. Our day school is sisters. Yeah. The day school that we have.
Just sisters.
But both. We're separated. We have two separate schools. But it's for sisters, you know. Mm. So we have both. So people move to come to the sisters' school as the girls' school. So miftah was that's the miftah is a separate campus, right? So it's also mashallah, it's 100,000 square feet campus. Mashallah. That's where we host like these different events. We got the chance to host Khabib and these different people at the campus of an auditorium that can see. Again, I actually, you know, I don't say this out of humility, but I actually feel numbers of students and attendees and your space is good. It's relevant, but it doesn't really matter as much because at the end of the day, the non-Muslims have bigger spaces than us.
Yes,
they have more reach than us. They're doing everything, right? So yes, it's important to have it because that means Allah is giving you encouragement to continue.
Yes.
Go ahead. I see what you're doing. I appreciate it. I got your back. But we shouldn't pump our shoulders.
That's not the value. It's there. We've always said, like this, even this podcast, even the retreats, if we change one human being, we've done our job.
It's good enough. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the ability to go ahead and do. I mean, again, we have it today. We hope that we have it till our last breath. You know, the dua of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And I think everyone should learn this dua. It was, Allahumma la tahrimna khayra ma indaka bi sharri ma indana. Allah, do not deprive us of the good that you have because of the flaws that we possess.
Ameen, ameen.
Because we're flawed.
Let's make that dua right now, brothers and sisters. Ameen, ameen. Subhanallah.
When are you coming to Australia to open up a campus?
You guys have a lot of khayra. Right,
we're going to get the schematics.
All the secrets.
Is that, like, honestly, like, say, we being in leadership and, you know, understanding we've got a big business, alhamdulillah, with a lot of staff. So you doing this on that scale, like, how is it that you can manage so many people, like the team? Like, it must have been a huge learning curve, man. Like, honestly, like, you know, you're very young, mashallah.
So we're very young, but alhamdulillah, we have, so first of all, like, within us brothers, we have a good understanding and support system for different.
Is there an Amir? situation? Is there?
Of course, I mean, the eldest brother is always the emir.
Oh, so he's the emir?
So, and our father is.
But did you guys do shura and vote him in?
No, we.
Or did he get voted?
But, by the way, if there was a shura from amongst the siblings, he would not get voted in.
You know, you're listening?
He's listening. You remind me of Amr Adalan. The country's willing to kill them all.
But really, of course, at the end of the day, there's always shura. There has to be shura. But in that shura, there's always an understanding of the ultimate goal. You know, so it's not like the shura needs to be made about everything, but the goal needs to be first set. Sometimes we don't set the goal and the vision, and then we're doing shura. And then there's so much back and forth because the frame of reference has not been consolidated.
Yeah. Mm.
But once the frame of reference is consolidated, shura is about the details.
Yeah.
But normally there's not disagreement about the actual work, right?
I hear. Like, I understand, like, me and my brother, we constantly...
Of course, you have.
We have a vision, and we constantly, like, we realign the vision constantly. Like, because as you know, after time, sometimes, you know, you have to realign the vision. Yeah. Just in case.
You have to be able to pivot.
Opportunities arise.
And we pivoted from our background to be able to host events and, you know, be able to have these types of... It's a pivot for us.
Yeah.
That's why we get a lot of backlash from maybe the more traditional part of the community that these people... have, you know, I mean, you know, using terms and things, they cause good, you know, it's good PR for some people.
Mm.
They're sellouts, they're not traditional, or this and that. At the end of the day, you know, we do the best we can.
In your experience, if the Tarbiyah style boarding, bringing up kids, being engulfed in the environment to what you're doing now, have you measured what's successful?
They're both very important.
Okay.
One is like a farm system in sports, they call it a farm system where you just cultivate. It takes time.
Mm.
But that time produces stronger results, but you have to wait for it. Like, it's like you guys just fed a steak. It's like steak, right? It's a long time. But sometimes when you're hungry, you'll be happy with just like a quick burger. You know, you don't need a steak.
Mm.
So the miftah concept is necessary so that these schools can continue thriving. Because if there's no appetite in people, why in the world would they send their children to learn the Quran? So we have to continue creating, like, it's easy to take people who have an appetite and feed them.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to create an appetite.
Mm,
to create an appetite requires a lot of effort.
Yes.
Requires consistency. An appetite of food is like the appetite of deen.
I mean,
if you had a good experience with that food one time, you don't want it again.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you didn't have a good experience, you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have had bad experiences. Or they've never had an experience, which is even worse at times, right? So we have to go ahead and give them a beautiful class or a seminar. And, you know, we're very average, but at the end of the day, they've never had a good experience. So this seems like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Wow.
Now they want to learn Arabic. They want to learn tafsir. And now their children want to become scholars. We have to change and shift the paradigm.
Mm.
Like, we want deen to be very normal in our society.
Amen.
We want it to be a part and parcel of our homes. We want it to be such that every youngster is saying that I need to make sure at least I know how to read Quran, know Arabic. I need to learn the Prophet's seerah to survive.
Amen.
Learning the Prophet's seerah is not optional. It's necessary
100%.
For my survival in this. I want to become a doctor, engineer, this and that. But I haven't learned the Prophet's seerah. So this normalizing it and not hiding, it's not something that we're not like tricking someone.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're just like, we want you to become good people. Hey, learn the seerah. No, we want you to learn the seerah to be a good person.
Yeah,
wow.
Right?
Amazing.
Like, trick them the opposite way.
So can we send all your children to?
100%.
So you take international students?
I mean, not really.
I'll hold you to that. Sending my four boys.
Guys, we're going to send you the link.
Hey, there's a waiting list. I'm sorry.
Alhamdulillah, we've got an international audience, mashallah. So guys, we'll send you the link.
There is a waiting list.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So what age groups?
From the boarding school is 11 onwards. We have students all the way up to 25.
Say, for instance, my son's 17. Can he come?
He can, technically, yeah.
So is there opening for that one?
we can make it happen.
It's not what you know. So you know, brother.
For sure, there is the opportunity for that. But also for an 18-year-old kid, maybe being in a boarding school might not be the best option. So we have miftah, which is like, okay, come for a year.
Oh, okay.
Just come for a year.
Nice.
Learn your deen for a year. Be in the environment. But not everyone needs to be a scholar.
Yeah,
Masha, you guys are creating so much benefit for people. You're not scholars, but you're connected to scholars. But you're benefiting people, right?
Yeah.
So not everyone needs to be a physician. You can be a nurse.
Yes.
You can be, you know, part of the
hospital.
Like, anyone can support the ecosystem if they have the mentality to want to help,
amen,
right?
Amen.
And if everyone's a scholar, man, you guys are taking my job. Like, you know, we need, yeah, we don't want everyone to become a scholar.
The reason we chose a leadership because we believe leadership can exist in everything.
In every field.
In
yeah.
nursing, yeah. in yeah. being a doctor, anything. In being a businessman. Leadership sure. exists everywhere. Yeah. In deen, in anything.
And that's yeah. what miftah is actually. Like if you're, whoever you are, okay, how can you, in your field, fulfill Allah's commandments? In your field. So if I'm an engineer, if I'm a mother or father, how do I fulfill my role in a way that brings pleasure to Allah? Someone came and asked a great scholar, one of our teachers, he said, you know, what is a sign of Shaykh Yusuf Kandawli rahimahullah? He says, what is a sign of an alim, a scholar? And his response was, a sign of an alim or a scholar is that in every moment of his life, he knows what Allah wants from him or her.
Allah.
What does Allah want from me right now as a son or a daughter versus as a spouse, versus as a parent, versus as a career-oriented person, versus as a, you know, stay-at-home mother, whatever it may be. Like, what does Allah want from me right now? That's what miftah is. It's to create an appetite that allows it to be normal to fulfill whatever demands that I have in this moment of my life.
Consciousness.
And to be honest with you, things go viral because people just do them. So yeah. we have to make this go viral. Not just the podcast is already viral, but we have to make the idea of deen being a part of our identity very normal.
Yeah,
it's not something which is strange. It's not something which is... I mean, in today's time, everyone is a stranger to someone else's definition of what normal is.
Oh, yeah, there's no such thing as normal.
There's no, everyone's arguing about what the norm is, right?
Yeah.
So if someone says that you're strange, you can tell them by whose definition of what the norm is. Because we don't really have one, right?
Do you have a masjid in your...
Yeah, we have a masjid. Okay. Yeah.
Quick question, mashallah. I like, from what I can see, you guys work with a lot of other different organizations.
Yeah, yeah.
You're very collaborative, I've noticed.
Course.
Why?
And like, how's that been? Because like, I noticed, like here, sometimes it's quite challenging to make two masjids work together. You know, like even we are having challenge here. Like to just, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, why? Because I believe that's a prophetic model in the sense that the greatest benefit that came to our deen was a collaboration of the Ansar and the Muhajirun.
I mean.
That's literally what...
You know, the question is, how do you do it? How do you do it? Because I notice there's a lot of challenge. We do that a lot ourselves, but we're just wondering, like, on a bigger scale, mashallah, how are you guys doing it? What are the challenges you're facing? Inshallah, some insight on that for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah. That's a beautiful question. I think the challenges are always there for collaborations and working with people. There's a few things. I think number one is understanding that there's an ultimate purpose and goal. And if that can be, like, that can be what drives the conversation, it makes the details a little easier. Number two, anytime you collaborate, there's going to be some compromise. And sometimes the compromise is to your ego. And most of the time, that's the biggest compromise. But that's not what I decided.
Yeah.
Bro, chill, it's
who
okay.
Who goes on like, stage first?
Like, oh, who's going to MC the program first? Or whose banner is going to be here? Look, the biggest brand is the brand of deen.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, at the end of the day, yes, it's important to have systems in place. And you can't be just like all over. But we intentionally use that concept to drive progress in the community. Like we would rather work with someone than do it ourselves.
Mashallah.
Because that's what creates growth. No one grows in their silos.
Yeah.
Right? Even as a strategy, no one grows in their silos. You have to work with one another.
There's a saying, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with others.
Allahu Akbar. That's Iyaka na'budu. It's not Iyaka a'budu. It's Iyaka na'budu. We do it together.
Yeah.
Right? The greatest days in Islam are the greatest day in our religion is the day of Arafah. Greatest day of the year.
I mean.
It's because that's where the most people are worshiping Allah together. Collectively. And then Jum'ah is the second best. So of course it comes with challenges. It has processes. There's systems. There's a level of humility that comes with it, which I do think is not easy.
Can you give us a challenge? Give us one big one.
No, I mean, in the sense like sometimes you would be working with people and you know they may pull the plug on you, right? Or they may use a derogative language with you because they don't know who you are.
Mm.
Like sometimes I would be working with someone and they may not even know that I'm a sheikh or not. Who cares? Like, they're just like, hey, I don't like that. Too bad. We're not. And in that moment, you're like, how do I respond to this person? Right. And for the betterment of the purpose and the goal, you have to just swallow your anger, swallow your uncomfortability, swallow your level of, you know, just presence and your ghira. Sometimes. Other times you respond. You have to know when to respond and when not to respond, right? That's important as well.
Hikmah, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard. We're learning. And I
context.
Yeah, it helps. But then no, context is dangerous, you know. But I do think it's been easy. I won't lie to you. I do think it has come pretty easy to us because I would hope that whoever we're collaborating with know that we're not looking for an incentive for ourselves.
Mm.
I think a lot of times when again, you always want to be a receiver, people want to push you
away. What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? So literally, the definition of ihsan, you guys mentioned about the ihsan concept of what you're doing. The definition of ihsan when it comes to worship is what you have in your leadership book, which is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. If you can't see Him, know that He can see you. But the definition of ihsan when it comes to dealing with people is not that. The definition of ihsan when it comes to dealing with people, Ghazali rahimahullah says, is أن تعطيه أكثر مما تستحق.
Amen.
Which means to always give a person more than what they expect from you. Wow. More than what they ask of you. More than what they deserve.
Amen.
Like, we're not talking, you know, in America and Australia, we're talking about rights and responsibilities. Yeah. But it's not my responsibility. No, but that's not ihsan. Ihsan begins where a person's responsibility ends. That's where ihsan starts. Yeah. If it's your responsibility, don't say the word ihsan. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have no choice. No one gets a medal for doing what they had to do.
Yeah.
You get a medal for doing something, which is ihsan, right? Beyond. So in a collaboration, the reason I feel like it's grown within us and it's part of our brand.
SubhanAllah.
It works because A, we actually believe that we want to give you something too and we're taking from you. That's ta'awun. Ta'awun is to work with other people, not with your own people.
Amazing.
Ta'awun is not to work with your own siblings. Ta'awun is to work with another organization. And that's very difficult. That's why it's very rewarding.
Because when I was doing my research, I noticed that, mashallah,
100%.
You guys are extremely collaborative.
And there's so much khair that comes from it. That stood out for me
because, you know, subhanAllah.
There's so much khair that comes from it. There's so much we learn from it. Like if we're collaborating with another institution, you learn from their systems as well. If you're hosting another scholar, you learn from them as well. And it builds muhabba.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the ultimate goal of working together or of worshiping Allah, why is it important for our sufuf to be straight? Why? Because it creates muhabba. The ultimate goal of everything that we do in our worship is that it creates love. Mm-hmm. How can it happen that we create love within our audience if we don't have love within each other?
We're talking about that at the retreat.
As scholars, as mashayikh.
We're talking about that. Yeah. So, like you said, because subhanAllah, we're talking about the retreat. And we as a team, subhanAllah, we're talking about the mahabba, you know what I mean? Yeah. How can we give love, you know, to the attendees if we don't have love amongst us and we have that strong bond that's unbreakable,
unbreakable and
mahabba between each other?
For the sake of Allah.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and it doesn't mean you won't have your differences. Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
And subhanAllah, things happen.
Another institution will call you and say, why are you going to that city? We're already going to that city. You should go somewhere else. You know what? It's happened to us so many times.
Yeah.
Where we would be planning an event in a city and someone else that would plan the event after us. And like just in the year, alhamdulillah, in the year 2024, we hosted more than 100,000 people for our live event. So alhamdulillah, there is so much work to be done that it's okay if someone else is going there.
Yeah.
So they would call me and say, you know, we're going there. Can you guys not go?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, for the sake of collaboration, you can actually say, let's just do it together.
Yeah.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
Or you can say, you know what? You're right. Why don't you go? We'll come back a later time. That is credibility. That is rapport now. Yeah. So it's going
to
help you.
That's happened to us exactly. Yeah. We organized an event. We had an event and we were selling tickets. And then we found out somebody else was doing an event same time. So that person called me up and said, hey, I'm inviting to my event. Can you come? I said, what?
We're doing an event.
We're doing an event. And they go, oh, we're going to on that day. And it's like, we're doing an event that way. And it's like, and they go, subhanAllah, wow, you've got a speaker. We've got a speaker. So I said, how many spaces do you have available still? Is your venue bigger than ours? They said, yeah. I said, why don't we collaborate and bring it together?
Allah,
I said, so our audience and your audience come together and our two speakers come together. Now the question is, which speaker goes first? You know what I mean? And I said, I don't care. And it's like, people come up to me and said, Ahmed, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, they're taking your audience. Like, why would you do that? And I was like, bro, this is for ultimate good. This is for Allah's sake. We're not doing this for us. We're not making the money out of this.
The response is, who said they were my audience? People, man, like, we don't own these people. But at the end of the day, yes, it's important that when you do collaborate, that you definitely have parameters set.
Yeah.
And it's, everything is because shaitan is the strongest advocate of disunity.
Yeah, I mean,
right? So he's always just trying to break people up. So you have to make sure that you set your bases up. The mashayikh know what's going on. And even if things go on, clean hearts. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and I think this hadith actually, if you were to ask me, plays a big role in us collaborating. It's a hadith where the tabi'un asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that described to us how the sahabas were. And we don't have too many narrations of the sahabas describing themselves because they're all the same. He said three things. And these three things are truly the source of working together, supporting each other at every level. Number one, he said, أَعْمَقُهَا عِلْمٌ, that whoever you're dealing with, the Sahabas had, they were competent. They were extremely intelligent in their fields.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't collaborate with someone who's not, who doesn't have depth in that field. You have to find the best in that field and work with each other. I mean, you know that, again, like, we came to Australia. We know that we're not in Australia, so we collaborate with White Flame. That's just, that's okay. If we stop thinking about who gets the credit, you can make miracles happen. Right? Amongst the Sahabas, there were 120,000 Sahabas. Documented names are less than 20,000.
Wow.
The most important people the world has seen, we know only a few of their names. If that if the goal was people's names were known, then we would know each and every one of their names. You know, we don't have access to it.
That's a valid point.
That's not the goal. Is the goal is that it brings them here. Sometimes when you focus on the brand so much, the actual message gets messed up.
Yeah.
Right? My father would tell us. My father still tells us, actually. You know, he's like the murabbi, so he always tells us, "Hey, man, don't confuse movement with progress. Just because you're moving, you're not progressing. So you got to make sure there's intentionality." And number two, he says the difference. There's a difference between a muqarrir. In Arabic, muqarrir is like an orator, a speaker, and a da'i. Da'i is someone who calls towards Allah. There's a difference. It's very interesting. So the difference is a muqarrir, when he finishes or she finishes their lecture or their session, people will leave saying, "Man, that person killed it. That was so deep." You ask them, "Okay, what did he speak about?" "I don't know, man. We're just hit the spot.
Nothing changed.
Nothing." But they remember the person.
Yeah, they remember the person.
But they remember the content.
Exactly.
And a da'i, Allah called us what? "Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah." Da'i, we're du'at.
Yeah.
Da'i will leave the session and people will say, "Man, I don't remember that person's name, but
he told me something.
I loved salat now.
Yeah.
Mm. I really want to pray."
Yeah.
The message doesn't get compromised. Life, you can't have multiple CTAs in marketing, right? You can't have multiple call to actions. Your incentive can't be three different things. You have to have one,
Mashallah.
Right? And that incentive for us in da'wah is Allah. So a'maquha ilm is a part of it. You have to have your depth of knowledge. Number two, things will go wrong. Abarraha qulub, that very clean hearts. Now, if you don't have a clean heart for someone, the slightest shift up or the slightest kind of, the banner was supposed to be here, but now it's where? It's here. Why did that happen for?
How
dare they move that banner? It's all right, move on. You know, it's okay. And again, next time you talk about it, right? And the third is, which is probably the most important one, أَقَلُّهَا تَكَلُّف. They had the least forced formalities. Force. You know how, like, let's do this and I've got to be like this. It's important to have formalities to create, you know, an understanding.
Yeah,
but beyond that, we don't have to be that formal with each other. We're brothers. We're family. And this is what allows us to collaborate. We're not too. We don't have to be too formal with mashayikh, right? We have to respect mashayikh. We don't have to always double guess why someone did something. Abarraha qulub, have our hearts clean. And number three, if you want to collaborate, do good at what you're doing. Why would another institution want to work with you if we don't have amaquha ilm? If we don't have depth in what we're actually doing? So I think that's a part of it, and we truly believe that the only way to continue da'wah in North America, at least, of course, all over the world, is to continue pursuing that.
Mm-hmm.
Continue pursuing it. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want to pursue it. They'll take it when it comes to them. But someone has to pursue it.
Yeah,
so we took that route of reaching out to the other organization. We want to work with you. We want to work together. We want to be able to produce something together.
Amazing.
And I don't think it was happening as much before, but alhamdulillah, now it's happening everywhere. People are working together because it's doable.
I think, like you said, the things like Palestine and we're coming together on
top. Yeah.
It's because as Muslims, I've always said, the enemies see us as one and we see ourselves
broken up.
Exactly.
And you, by the way, in collaboration, you don't have to do everything together.
Yeah, 100%.
I just once in a while, you know, we do this together, do that together.
I tell the brothers and our sisters, your net worth is your network.
Mm.
That's
some deep stuff.
Your
brother's wise, man.
Yeah.
No.
He's a poet.
Yeah,
he's got some poetry. Anyway,
show your brother's poet. Yeah.
He's got some poems.
I'm writing a book called The Rhythms of Healing and Inspiration, which is
beautiful.
All my poetry that I've been writing.
Beautiful.
No plug, man.
No, come on, man.
Keep an eye on
it. I want to ask you a question. What do you do to keep yourself grounded?
It's beautiful. Number one, stay busy in the effort. Like, just work. Like, at the end of the day, you know, people get caught up in their results. Go do something, and afterward look at the pictures, and on top of that,
the likes.
It happens, right? It happens to everyone. So what you really have to do is just stay busy. Continue staying active. Like, we sleep less, continue moving, continue teaching. So what happens there is that you don't get enough time to even, so there's a con to it too, though. Because sometimes you want to be able to soak it all in so it can encourage you to do more. But once you're always moving, you don't get the chance to even feel the impact as much. Mm. So it actually avoids a level of arrogance and riya. Because you don't even get to, you don't need to see it as much. You're just moving from one city to the next city and you're
just keep going.
You just keep going.
Case.
You got to keep going. And that was a goal that we have. We have to keep moving until wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. And yaqeen is death. That's a goal for us till we leave this world. Allah. That's number two, staying grounded is through the people around you. Right? So I have older brothers.
No, yes, man.
No, yes, man. He's your older brother, right? Older brother, you know.
It's true. Brothers always, man. They're tough, man.
For each other, and it's necessary. And then you also have your teachers, your mentors that are still around that will correct you once in a while. That you shouldn't be doing this. And it's okay. If someone can't be criticized, they shouldn't be able to. If you can't take criticism, you shouldn't criticize anyone else.
Yeah, I mean.
And if you can't take someone's advice, then why are you advising others? Like it can't happen. So that helps us stay grounded. And last but not the least, I would say, I think, and I say this all the time, and people may think this is just a level of humility, but I think this is the reality. We actually don't believe that the work is happening because of us. It's happening despite of us. Yeah. Like if a person actually starts to believe that we're just lucky to be on this ride, yeah, they don't have time to start feeling, you know, something about themselves. Actually, you'll be surprised. Us brothers don't actually have a social media account of our own. We have
Miftah. You're the only one.
No, I don't have one either. Miftah has an account.
Yeah, but you're the only one that's quite visual on it. Is it all of you are?
No, everyone has.
You're the famous one, apparently.
No. I'm just a simple guy. My brothers are way better than me.
Don't you present more, a lot more than them? Or not?
I think I travel more than them because they're a little older and they've decided that there's something in life called sanity. And they're trying to push that into me as well, which is important. You need to have some level of balance. They've decided that. And they're forcing me to do that as well. But
so you're the mascot, really.
So he's half Aussie now. That's why. He's got the Aussie blood, didn't he?
He has to travel because his wife's family's here.
Yeah, but she's not here with me right now.
I know, unfortunately.
I just came for 3 days. You know, it's hard. But really, I think because of that, we're just traveling a lot. But that whole idea of people looking after you, calling you out for something, making sure that you know what you're doing while you're doing it. Mashallah. It's important for people to ask you questions.
100%.
And if you don't have an answer, maybe you shouldn't be doing it at that moment, right? You shouldn't get offended either, which is hard. But you shouldn't get offended. We're young. At the end of the day, we're young. So, you know, sometimes something can hurt you. So even if you're in the state of giving someone advice, you should also be careful. It's not like I'm the older brother, so I can just say whatever I want to say. No. You still have to come
Damn,
with love.
He's that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it can only take you so far. Right?
Yeah, the older stubborn brother.
But again, staying grounded happens through that. And then, you know, again, going for Umrah, doing itikaf, your spirituality is what will give you the ability to impact people. If you don't have, if a person doesn't have substance, how are they impacting? The substance, not of wealth and of power, of deen. Like the tree of da'wah, is اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. First revelation is to be literate about who Allah is. بسم ربك الذي خلق. It's not education. It's literacy about who Allah is. That's the trunk. And the two main branches that allow this to be impactful are the next two revelations, according to some scholars, which is يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا, which is stand and establish a relationship with your Lord on your own in the middle of the night. Pray to Allah. Mm. Build a relationship with Allah.
Amen.
When Salahuddin Ayyubi was asked, how did you conquer Baitul Maqdis? He did not say strategy. He said, I never missed tahajjud since the day this army has left and is pursuing this goal. This is the secret sauce that we struggle with. Right? This is this and the du'as of our parents. It's the secret sauce.
Yeah, yeah. It's about the sense of the lowest heavens.
That's the time. Then what this does is the next branch, which is Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, which is now, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, stand and deliver.
Go.
Now go out.
Move.
Yeah, move. But if you're moving without this, you're fulfilling someone else's agenda. But this is what gives you purpose. And now this gives you the ability to fulfill that purpose. Now, if you're not doing this, but just doing that, it's a problem. And if you're only doing this, that means you're selfish.
Yeah.
Because you have a responsibility to go ahead and to push it out.
We do have a lot of brothers that that are not going and projecting and you know what I mean? And because it's a good feeling. It's a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place to be. It's comfortable.
It's comfortable. It's comfortable. You find your comfort there. So what would you leave it? It's like then you go out in the real world and
you see everything.
Can I ask a question? Being from Middle Eastern, you know, are your parents proud?
I thought you're Aussie.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Our
Muslim families, you know, parents, fathers, and mothers, they usually don't, you know, show us love and compassion. Are your parents proud?
They're very
Did
proud.
I tell you? Did
they're,
I tell you
they're very proud? They always tell us they're very proud.
MashaAllah.
May Allah bless them for telling us that. We would hope that they hold their heads up high because of us.
Mashallah.
And we would hope that that is the greatest victory for us is that our parents can be proud of us.
Mashallah.
This is why on the Day of Judgment, the mother and father are given a crown because of their children. Like as children, you know, one of the greatest sources of fulfillment is when your parents are proud of you because you honor their name in this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
But imagine the pride that they will have when you honor their name in the Akhirah. In front of billions of people.
Ameen.
They call upon the mother and father of Abdullah and say, hey, this is a crown for you because your son became Hafiz. You know, they'll be beaming with pride in front of all of humanity, right?
Sure.
So that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I think, of course, there has to be tough love.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we get that from our older brothers as well. But our parents are very proud of us, alhamdulillah. And we're very proud of our students. Now we have students who are giving da'wah. They have graduated and they're doing the work of deen all across the country. We have 30 graduates that are all across the country serving. So, I mean, we're very proud. That's our, like, that's our bread and butter now.
The question is financially.
Mm.
How do you do that financially? Like is it tough? Like it's quite challenging even for us, like to do the retreat and get the finances and fundraise for that because it's all in it.
It's what you said earlier.
Free sabilillah, not fee sabilillah.
Free sabilillah. Difference. Free sabilillah. Yeah, that's what they hope for and expect, right? I would say like for sure, like finances cannot be a driving force in this because you're in the wrong field.
Mm.
You're definitely in the wrong field if you want to make money from
it,
right?
Challenging to get the money
in? Yeah, so what you said earlier, was very nice. You said that wherever people see value, they'll support.
100%.
So you just have to make sure they see the value of it, and they'll support. And if they stop supporting, go back to the drawing board.
Yeah,
why are they not seeing value in this anymore?
Beautiful.
But of course, I think for us brothers, it's very important that we like, making money from da'wah is, for people who are in need of it, is important. But if other people have other means of income, then you don't have to take anything either, right? Which is, we don't really take much from from our institutions.
I just want I knew that, but I just wanted to.
You know, but
I want
really,
to flesh that. I want to flesh that out.
I'll tell you the truth that there is, people need to support these institutions as much as they can, right? Because yes, it's important to send money back home and do all that good stuff.
Yes,
but if we are living in this country, not leaving, we have to be thinking about 3 generations from now. How will our grandchildren be Muslims?
Yeah, big problem.
Question, how can people support your organization?
I mean, don't do that, man. You're going to make me feel. I mean, they can go online. First of all, they should go to Miftah's website. They should become students. They should learn, join a program, support by making dua. And miftah.org/donate, brother. You know, they can find the donate link.
Donate link, guys.
You know, but really, I think the ultimate donation is, yes, supporting us, but making dua for us.
Inshallah.
Sending you asked about your son, sending your kids to learn. If they can't come there, find something local, you know. And we have an analogy in America, which we have baseball. If you can't hit a home run, get a base hit.
Mm.
You know, just get what you can, you know, and do. And I'm not saying that we're
get off
run.
And move.
Yeah, get him. We'll get a base hit, man. Get moving.
Inshallah, we'll put the link in the bio as well, inshallah, in the podcast. One little thing is, what does success really mean to you, to be honest? I'd love to know that answer. Like, what does success mean to you? Mm. You personally, not your brothers, not Miftah.
Just me.
You. What does success mean to you?
Success for me would be, to be fair, I mean, we have to have a reference. Success to me would be what we've been taught, right? At the end of the day, everyone's meaning of success is what they've been taught. Like, you have a meaning of success, but you were taught that. You have a meaning of success, you were taught that. I have a meaning of success, and I was taught this meaning of success, and I live it now. And that meaning of success is, indeed, a person is successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Like, success for me in this world is that I can continue doing what I'm doing. Yeah. If I can wake up in the morning and I can continue teaching, I can continue serving, I can continue leading, I can continue being a part of Miftah, I can continue being a part of this ecosystem, that is success. That brings me great joy. That I can wake up and I can still, that's successful, that I walk into a classroom and I have students. What if I didn't have students? I can walk into a class and there's people that are there to listen and learn from us. That is success. I wake up in the morning and not worried about whether or not our staff is going to leave because we're not paying them their salaries. Like, that's success, that Allah has still given me tawfiq to be a part of this fraternity.
Ameen.
That is success.
Ameen.
And of course, success in the akhirah is that it gets accepted. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That's akhirah. But in dunya, if you're asking me truly, and no one has really asked me that, my definition of success is whatever you enjoy, Allah allows you to continue doing it.
Ameen.
And that's success.
May Allah use you and never replace you. May Allah use us all and never replace us. Alhamdulillah. On that note, we always love to end each podcast by asking our guest to describe themselves in a single, concise I am statement. But I want you to think about that now so I can close the podcast. So subhanAllah, we'd first like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank our audience, and I'd love to remind you all, inshallah, to subscribe so you don't miss out. Comment any questions you have for the brother. Please, guys, give us any form of improvement. We want to improve. We want to do more. Please share with others. It will benefit. And please, 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 we've noticed, subhanAllah, like our audio, we're getting, man, huge amount of downloads, but we're not getting the rating. Please, we ask of you to rate the platform. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. When you give us that rating, we elevate as well. So even non-Muslims, inshallah, will get that on all the podcast channels through the ratings, inshallah.
You guys are doing great work, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Bless you guys. Alhamdulillah. You guys are inspiring. Just your story and your brothers. We need a podcast the opposite way. We invite you to Miftah.
Inshallah.
And get your story as well.
Inshallah. SubhanAllah, we're blessed to be around brothers like yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors. And may He keep Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And connect us, inshallah. This world and the hereafter.
Ameen, ya Rabbi.
I am.
I am. So can the I am, is it a one word after or is it a?
I am a student that aims to be of benefit.
This is
what
I
do. Use it,
can I steal that? that's a great one, man. Oh, man.
I'm constantly learning and alhamdulillah, I'm constantly giving back, inshallah. May Allah use me to be of benefit and, you know, that's the ummah needs to be benefited. So inshallah, may Allah use us.
I mean, I honestly, not because you just said it, I would say that one too. Like, I would take it. I'm a student because that's all of us. We should, you know, al-Mahdi lal-Ahad. We're students of knowledge and we're students of the tradition. But if I was to use another one, I would say, I'm excited to serve. You know, I'm excited to serve. You know,
we can say that. We can say that.
Yeah,
you project that beautifully.
You have to be. If you're not excited to serve, then why are you serving for?
May Allah bless you. Inshallah, you keep serving for a long, long time. And inshallah, we get a chance to
visit our campus.
Yeah, see you serving, inshallah. We'd love to see you serving, inshallah, and help you serve.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you and be with the best of servers.
Ameen, ya Rabbi, inshallah.
And the Sahaba that live this great world, earth. Left us the greatest example.
And you guys motivate us by giving us, you know, the motivation of speaking about these stories and so on. It's a motivation to us, and hopefully it's a motivation for everyone that's watching, anyone that's listening, that whatever you can do to serve the deen, you should do it.
As much as you can, guys. Wallahi, move, ya ibadallah, as much as you can. But truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us just to move anything small, just by a single sentence, single movement, inshallah, for Allah's sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us His mercy. Jazakumullah khair, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.